Invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. I'll be reading all 12 verses, but just preaching from verse 12. All right, let's give our hearts and mind the attention worthy of God's holy word. Luke 24, beginning with verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. The word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon his preached word this week. But Father, as we look back into this account, this is indeed the miracle. This is the basis of our faith. I ask that you would give us as your people in Christ great hope and encouragement today. Father, we need it. So we ask that you would be our guide, be our teacher, Holy Spirit, open our hearts to you, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. There is an old saying I thought of this week as I was preparing the sermon that goes something like this. It says, "The clothes make the man." Ever heard that before? It's the idea that what we wear says something about us. Some believe that this phrase was first coined by Shakespeare in Hamlet. Don't know if that's exactly true, but it is a phrase that gets used from time to time. And you know, really, even in our day, perhaps this morning, we might use our clothing to make a statement. Don't we? Of course, we all tend to do that. It's not lost on me that as I say that, I'm wearing a black robe that probably does give some kind of statement. Maybe you wear a UK sweatshirt or a shirt this week and you are looking to show your loyalty. You're making a statement with your apparel. Maybe you wear a certain name brand to show your support. Of course, you're making a statement. Maybe you wear a tie to work tomorrow. And if you do that, you're hoping perhaps to make a statement. We use our clothing to make statements. This is not a new idea, even in Scripture. We see that clothing often could communicate a message. From Joseph's coat of many colors, it produced jealousy in the lives of his brothers. Moses instructed about the differences of male and female clothing, because clothing could communicate a story. Even Jesus taught us not to worry about what to wear, because clothing often tells a story. From our passage this morning, this is a bit of a strange sermon. I warn you in advance. We're going to be looking at a set of clothing, but is the clothing of Jesus in which he was buried, his grave clothes, if you will. The story of these clothes changed the entire world and has impact for us today. Again, back in Luke 24, we're going to be here in this chapter for the next month. We'll be working through this. I won't re-preach the message of Easter, but I want us to focus today just on verse 12. But throughout this chapter, the context is that Jesus is alive, and he is now inside of his glorified body. And he lived for 40 days on this earth in a different body. That miracle really does need to fall afresh in our lives. During those days on this earth in a different body, he opened the minds of his friends. He gave reasons for faith, More than 500 people interacted with him while he was in this new body. But today, in this passage, we have no interaction with Jesus. He gives us no words. Rather, we see a place where he had been. And we see the set of clothing left behind, and I think that set of clothing speaks loudly to us today. I want to suggest that these clothes lying in the tomb, what they represent, perfectly define why we can have hope and confidence in our lives today. Not only do they tell a story, but they provide the confidence we need to live by faith in Christ. So let me suggest, whatever suffering is going on in your life, whatever confusion in your life, whatever frustration in your life, whatever anger or hurt is going on in your life, let these artifacts left in the tomb speak to your heart this morning. Here again, verse 12. Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Church, what happened? What did Peter see? How did he go from despair to marvel with that sight? Let's consider this in two parts this morning. First, notice a sight of emptiness, and secondly, a hope of fullness. A sight of emptiness, a hope of fullness. All right, look back. A sight of emptiness. We know the scene, verses 1 through 11. It is the message of Easter. Remember all that has taken place around this tomb. Jesus died on Friday. His body was put into the grave later that day. It was there all of Saturday. His friends, his disciples, his family, they were all distraught. They were scared. They were confused. They couldn't believe. Resurrection realities were just beyond their imaginations. The women who were devoted to him came earlier to the tomb that Sunday morning. And the angels told them about there was no dead body here. Remember, those angels told them that Jesus was alive. Said, go and tell Peter and go tell the disciples. The disciples couldn't believe. But Peter has now been told. And what did he do? He ran to the tomb. Out of his fear, he runs to see what had happened. He arrived along with John. It's not included in the book of Luke, but it is in the Gospel of John, that John and Peter both arrived together. And upon arrival, he stooped, he looked in, he put his face into the tomb. Jesus was not there, but something was. Because of the daylight, he could see it. And that sight changed everything. It seemed simple enough, but it was not simple at all. The tomb wasn't empty. No, there was something inside that tomb. It was this set of linen cloths lined perfectly in order. It was clothes. It was Jesus' grave clothes. This reminds me of the idea of a time capsule. You know what that is? I've never been part of a time capsule, but I think it would be fun if you live long enough to see it. You know about a time capsule. You put artifacts into something, you bury it, and you come back a generation or 100 years later or something like that, and you open it, you rediscover the artifacts, and those artifacts tell you a story about a different day, a different time. Think back to Peter looking inside. This empty tomb was a bit of a time capsule, if you will. The length of time was not very long. It wasn't a generation. It was only a few short hours, a half of day at the very most. But the artifacts left behind communicate something amazing. James Boyce, in his commentary regarding the empty tomb, said this about these grave clothes. He said, in the time frame of Jesus' life and death in Palestine, the bodies of the dead were neither embalmed nor cremated. Rather, they were wrapped with cloths. They were wrapped with linen cloths, and the wrapping would have gone over and over and over around the body. Significantly, placed inside of this linen wrapping were dry spices. It's believed up to 75 pounds of spices would have been inside of the wrapping of the linens. Now, because those who were granted authority to perform the burial of Jesus were men of significant means, it was assumed that there was no shortage of these spices used at all. All of this, the mixture of the wrapping with the spices, along with the moisture of the tomb, would have formed something of an enclosure, an encasement, for lack of better words. This thought, the linen, it would have stiffened overnight. So picture these cloths wrapped around and around and around. And the point of this is that this encasement was not made to be opened. It wasn't formed to have it ever taken off. The body couldn't have been separated from the linen cloths. Removing the body from the cloths was not an option because there was never a reason to do so. To go back to the text, imagine Peter stooping, looking in, and what does he see? He sees these linen cloths with no body inside of them. The clothes that Jesus would have been buried in, this encasement which held his body, it was lying perfectly in the tomb. A set of clothes weighed down by these spices with no body inside of it. This framed set of grave clothes, the wrappings filled with spices, lying there. That's the picture. Now, of all the messages of this scene, of which there are many, one must be observed. Because we know in Scripture there was a fear the body of Jesus would be stolen. Scripture records that. If it had been stolen, this encasement would have been carried out with the body because you couldn't have separated it. The intent would be to take the body out of the tomb. If there was any hope to remove the body from these linen cloths, the cloths would have been torn, shredded, ripped apart, if it would have even worked. But the point is that did not happen. Neither of those happened. Rather, the clothes were lying there perfectly in place and untouched. Do you see what Peter saw? Do you see the miracle? How could this be? How could a body come removed from these linen cloths? John Stott, the great British scholar and pastor, he said this of the scene. I love this. He said that the body of Jesus was transmuted. I'm not sure what that means, but taken out of those cloths into a new and different and wonderful body. Stott says it was as if Jesus' body vaporized. And now there's a new body. Do you see the miracle? It's supernatural, if you can believe. Jesus' old body gave way to his new, glorified, perfected body. Jesus' new, glorified body passed through those linen cloths. And they prove that Jesus perfectly passed through them in his newness. These cloths tell a story. In the Gospel of John, when John records this exact same scene, he included a Greek word that Luke does not use, and it refers to that these cloths were empty, which basically means they were, quote, in order. They were in order. We Presbyterians appreciate that detail, that everything was put in order. But the story of the clothes of Jesus, that Jesus was perfectly in control at this moment. His body wasn't stolen. His body wasn't moved. His body had not been touched. No, he arose out of that with a new body. Remember Lazarus in the New Testament? Another miracle. Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. But you know what happened to Lazarus? He was raised into the same body, which died again. You know, think about our bodies today. Our bodies kind of tell a story, don't they? It's usually not a very pleasant story. Our bodies are constantly changing in that we always are getting old. But these bodies in which we live today, ultimately, we all will wear down. So with that in mind of our looming death, put yourself into Peter's position. as he glazed into that tomb, as he looked there, what sight affected him? It was the reality that our lives are not defined by these bodies in which we live, not ultimately. Remember the words from Galatians chapter 2. Hear this afresh this morning. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in this body, in this flesh, I live by faith in him. I think the message that Peter saw is that our life today is not defined by the message of our physical bodies. Not anymore. Not since Jesus is alive. We are so connected to him. What happened to him is what will happen to us. Those empty clothes, those perfectly layered cloths, those ordered strips of linen in this grave reveal a whole new world of hope for us today. Jesus paved the way for us all. So what did Peter do? He marveled. I suspect it was more than he could comprehend. He had to process all of this, I'm sure. Jesus alive. I'm connected to him. A resurrected body. We have a future and it's glorious. I don't think it's shocking that in Peter's first letter that he wrote, listen again to his words and connect it to this scene. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he wrote these words to encourage other Christians in their suffering. And this man who marveled at the resurrection, here's what he wrote. He said, according to Jesus' great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. You see, the reality of that resurrection means that we have hope now. That's the message these clothes give. All right, we've seen the sight of emptiness. Let's consider now the fullness of faith. Look back at verse 12. So here Peter is. He has run there. He has stooped down. He's looked inside. He's peeked inside. And then what did he do? He went home. What else could he do? It was time to go home. What crossed his mind as he walked home that day? Well, we don't know at all. We're speculating for sure. We know from scriptures in the very, very near future, Jesus will have a conversation with Peter and reinstate him, show his love for him, bless him, and position him. But that conversation had not happened yet. Now, as he walked home after seeing this empty position of clothing, he does not yet know all that will take place. But I think he knows a few things. I think there are a couple things that happened in that scene in which we can draw application today. Let me offer two observations for you that I think are helpful for us in our hope for today. Two observations that are very just clear from the passage. Number one, Jesus is concerned with the details of our life. The details. Details, by that, I mean things like timing, things like process, things like structure. The details of life, which prove to be important over the course of our life, it seems like Jesus very clearly is concerned about every single day. To be honest, I'm not that great with details. I'm glad other people are. I'm really not. But you need to know this morning, our Lord is really good with details. Consider, these empty clothes were in order. He didn't have to leave them at all. He clearly wanted Peter and the others to have this sight engraved in their hearts and in their minds. He made sure that they had a tangible material aspect to ensure that their faith and their hope and their encouragement was real. In terms of timing, Jesus could have timed all of this differently. He could have simply waited for them to arrive at the tomb and explained everything. But that clearly was not the process that he had in mind. He wanted them to go through this time of confusion so that they could see something that otherwise they would not have seen. He wanted them to experience this. Perhaps he was preparing them for a day when he would not be with them. But all of these details, Jesus had them all perfectly under his control. He had a process, and it was being executed for his glory and for the people's good. The timing, the order, all of it. Jesus cares about details, all of them. So let me ask you this morning, this same Jesus who was alive then, who is alive today, do you feel that he has forgotten details in your life? I assure you, he has not. None of them. Maybe you feel that your life is very chaotic today. Maybe your life really is chaotic today. Can you have hope that Jesus really is in charge of every single detail of your life? Again, these empty clothes reveal that our risen Lord knows the exact time, place, plan, process, and order of everything. Peter had no plan here, none. His only plan, run to Jesus. And then Jesus did everything. Jesus cares for every detail of your life. He is the Lord. He is executing his will, and he's not confused. You can put all of your hope in his plan, and he works out the details. All right, that's first, the details. But secondly, and I can't get this one out of my mind, and this is what has affected me the most this week as I prepared. So many of Jesus' miracles were public, but this one was not. Second observation is simply this. Jesus does things that we can't see. He does. He does things that we can't see. When his new body passed through those grave clothes, it was done in a grave with no one watching. We see the result, but we didn't see the actual miracle. The proof existed. Jesus was alive and people saw him. It's there. It happened. It's real. But we didn't see the work. May I suggest, in whatever confusion you face this morning, can you accept that Jesus is doing things that you can't see? Jesus is doing things for his glory and for our good in which we are not aware, that are beyond us. Peter couldn't imagine this. He could have never made this up. Jesus was doing it. Jesus was at work, even if you see him or not. Peter did not know this was about to happen. Thus, for Peter and for us, it's certainly true. Jesus is doing things in our lives today, and we cannot see it. But not only are those things good, those things can be beyond what we could ever hope for. Your life may feel out of control or forgotten or abandoned. But if he is alive, then Jesus is at work in your life. So can you take comfort this morning that your Lord is masterfully working out his providence in our lives, in our church, in our city, and throughout this world? He's the conductor. He is in control. That we don't see every detail is not confusing for him. William Cowper was a great hymn writer in England in the 18th century. You need to know that Cowper battled depression almost every day. It was crippling. His life was one of constant chaos. One of his most famous works has become a bit of a proverb for our day as we think about the Lord. Cowper wrote, "God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm." What's the message? It's a message for the depressed, for the confused, for the doubting, for the angry, for the self-righteous. What seems mysterious to us is not to him. Jesus had all of this under his control. The details Jesus knows, the work Jesus sees. Let me close with this, and then we will come and feast with our Savior. As I thought about Peter peeping into that tomb, and their recognition that Jesus was not there, but these perfectly laid out clothes were. And it produced marvel in his heart. And his soul went from chaos to celebration. It reminded me of a history class from years gone by. Do you remember the discovery in 1922 in Egypt? When the archaeologist Howard Carter discovered the tomb of the infamous King Tut. Carter spent 3 decades with little results. Upon finding the steps which would lead to the vast riches, walking in, the story is told that he was asked if he could see anything in the tomb. You remember what he said? Allegedly, he responded with, "Oh yes, wonderful things." I think that's the message of Peter, but far greater. What do you see, Peter, inside that tomb? I see wonderful things. I see that Jesus is not only alive, but Jesus is in charge. Jesus controlled all of this. Jesus is in charge, and we have a future with him. And it's not just that we go to heaven, but we have new bodies here on this earth. For us as Christians, Peter's discovery far outweighs any other discovery. Those empty clothes of Jesus meant for him and for you and for me and for the whole world, we're clothed today. That's the message. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we are clothed. We are perfectly clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. And here's what that means for us. Your Father looks at you in Christ, and he likes what he sees. We are dressed to impress. He dressed us in his blood and in his righteousness. Amen. Amen. Let me pray, and we'll transition to the Lord's Prayer, and then we will come and we will feast with our King. But Father, help us to believe this miracle. Help us to believe that it's real. Help us, oh God, to believe all that you want us to know. Jesus, you are alive today. No, we cannot see you, but we believe. You have given us our lives that we can look backwards and see how you have been active and you have been good. So, Father, as we prepare now to feast with you, we pray the way you instructed us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.